sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
We choose directly who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho. This is Will Blue Otter coming to you on Prophecy Keepers Radio, which is a ministry of Oklava Native American Church of the White Roots of Peace. And we'd like to welcome Thana Redhawk tonight. Thana's mic is live, and so is Mark the Badger. Borcherding.
Anyway, good evening.
Welcome to the program, and here's a little hawk music. There we go. Yeah, well, I always got to get the medicine up. Anyway, welcome, Thana. Would like to thank our producer, Mac Boogaloo, for arranging for Thana to make a special appearance here. Thana Redhawk is an award-winning, inspirational, original First Nations of Turtle Island spoken word artist, inspirational speaker, published poet, music producer, general manager, and host at Unity Networks and Native Nations Radio, and a radio host. Didn't have room for what's the URL for your radio show?
You know, I don't know it actually.
Yeah,
it's on website page. Yeah,
it is, and there's links right there on the page to go to Indigenous Entertainment and to Red Hawk Woman Music on Facebook. Well, welcome to the program. As I was telling you, we'd like, before we get started, we'd like to be so bold as to tell you why you do what you do. And we do that by doing a Mayan birth reading, and Mark already has your information, and I'm sure he's ready to roll. So take it away, Mark.
Well, on traditional Mayan calendar day count, she was born on a day called Nine Malak, the ninth day of the 260 day Zolkin. And this has an interesting connection to you, Blue Otter, because the next thing that rolls around on a nine is a nine eek, 13 days later, one 13-day cycle later. So we always bring that up because a lot of the guests tend to have some kind of connection one way or another to Blue Otter's birth sign. So the nine tends to relate to a feminine power and authority. The emotions, intuitive, and art, especially those types of things. And then the Moloch glyph, it's usually seen as a red color glyph, and it has to do with a lot of times about payment of things and tribute, and especially in karma and stuff like that, especially things that have to deal with the past. So sometimes when we see this showing up, it has to do with a past life as much as now. So some of the things you're doing may actually be bridging one or more lifetimes in a, probably all of them, majority of them female, and all of them tending to be probably artistic in nature. So you've probably been building up quite a repertoire of artistic and intuitive capabilities.
Well, now, you like to write poetry.
So now the next part we'll be doing is a reading on the six sun Vulcan, and it's going to have three components, so a forward flow of time, a backward flow, forward being the way we normally see time, but there's another time flow that moves the opposite direction, going backwards. We don't see that one because we did see it, and all of its effects that basically cancel out our reality, and we wouldn't see anything. So, and then there's a unity of these two time flows, forwards and backwards, a zero point or unity point. So there'll be these three parts will have that. So we'll do the forward flow of time the way we normally put time first. So this is going from your birth forwards, and it's indicating that you've had probably all your life a pretty strong sense of purpose and discipline, especially in dealing with doing things intentionally. You know, kind of probably been pretty good about that and figuring out what the intention behind something you're doing is, and then having the discipline and stuff to be able to bring it into fruition and bring it forward. But it has a kind of partnering thing here, energy of balance. So would not be surprising if that's been balancing things and just things having correctness or correct actions and behavior and all that type of stuff. That probably maybe has been fairly important to you in terms of a not just yourself, but a sense of purpose for the other people that are around you as well. And while probably with this, I would think that you've probably had a somewhat sense of service in helping people probably most of your life, fairly, you know, stronger than most people anyway. So that's on the forward flow. On the backward flow, and this is things you may have been seeing show up in your life more recently, say since the year 1997, 98, somewhere around there, a little bit before, a little bit after, and maybe getting stronger. And it's about change in a nutshell, changing stuff, helping transform things, moving from one thing to another, especially on a spiritual or divine level, and especially when that change has as its focus, its intention, or its target, bringing things together as one. In Maya, the word would be in Lakesh, I'm another you, and Lakota and all that, Omotakiasin, and different cultures have different words that basically means everything's united as one, bringing everything one together in the Creator. So you're probably, what you've been working on in recent years is trying to cause that to happen and working through loyalty, heart power, good virtues, and all that stuff. It's a partnering energy. This is Ok, it's a dog glyph. It's in the Mayan, in some of the Mesoamerican tradition. He's kind of the partner of Quetzalcoatl a lot of times, Xoatl, and he's a dog guy that helps guide people through the underworld. After they die, they go through the underworld. he's kind of their seeing eye, the spiritual seeing eye dog, so to speak, you know, and it helps keep them on the right path. And so he's kind of, that kind of thing is kind of a partnering energy to help you with that change. And that fits right in with the whole idea of moving from one world into the next, the Hopi say fourth to fifth world, different cultures have different, you know, numbers on the world cycles, but basically moving from this world to the next. And so, but in yours, it has as a primary objective of bringing things together, a unity, a oneness. That's the key word, oneness. And it has some other things that are guiding and doing this. One is a larger cycle energy of community and cooperation within a community. So you'd probably be good at helping with working, starting with one of these, what they call a intentional community, or a little, you know, like a little farming community, or, you know, something like that, you know, any kind of little community or cooperative, you know, of some kind, some art cooperatives or food cooperatives that people do, stuff like that. That would be something to look for if that shows up in your life. It might be something good. You also have a lot of things here, another cycle that's about the ancestors. So, and they can help you with this change in balance, which also brings peace. This may also bring into back, because remember in your other reading where it's talking about your past life stuff, so, you know, you might be your own ancestor.
Weird that you say that. Oh.
Yeah. So, now where these two come together, it's a, it has a lot. This is how a bridge between worlds, that change and moving, it's kind of like a bridge or a doorway or a gateway from one world to another, and kind of what takes you through it. And this one's all about, really about order, eternity, only make some sacrifices to get to liberation or a personal, real strong personal aspect to this. So not the dog schwaddle thing, underworld stuff is also showing up here even more strongly than before. So that's showing that's a, and then also an aspect of, you, if you see things that have to do with mirrors and light, pay real close attention to them. That they're going to be something very important, teaching you very important things.
Wow. That was spot on.
Yeah, ain't it something? Yeah.
I've had a reading done by Jose before, Monique, but it wasn't quite as detailed as that. Interesting. Very interesting. There was a couple of things that struck me, and when you said about intentional community,
mm-hmm.
About 20 minutes before this radio interview, someone had actually called me, and I wasn't going to answer the phone, and they had inquired if I knew about any intentional communities. But it's so strange.
Yeah.
And the other was the last part of that, you know, the oneness, and also might possibly being my own ancestor. There's a photo that was given to me years ago of a young Apache woman, 14 years old, and she looks just like me. And
uh-huh.
I posted it the other day on Facebook, and I've just had this sense that I need to find out who she is. Since I think that was given to me in 1998, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
So very interesting that you brought up those two things.
Oh, and by the way, you can tell your friend to check out IC.org, look for an intentional community.
IC.org. All right, I'll write
that down. IC.org, yep. And,
interesting.
Well, just let your mind wander. Tell us, you know, where you came from and where you're going and what you think got, you know, how did you get on this path, and tell us about your childhood and whatever you want.
Well, I'll start by saying that I come from the Azteca, Apache, and Cherokee Nation, as well as I have Scottish and Irish blood. On my mom's side, we're full blood. On my dad's side, he was half. And I grew up in Los Angeles, even though I was born in Missouri. So I kind of grew up in a different world, apart from living out in the country. We did spend our summers in Idaho, so I was taught a lot of things in my youth from my grandparents, who I was mostly raised by.
I was born
in Branson, Missouri, actually.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's a...
But my grandmother owned a store for many years in Blue Eye, Missouri.
Yeah, it's a really heavily Cherokee area, and a lot of Cherokee history there. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. I'm actually from the Goss Perry family line of Cherokee, and that was on my grandmother's side, my dad's mom. So, you know, they were originally from Georgia and then walked the Trail of Tears over to Oklahoma. So, you know, I had always known that. My grandmother always talked about it as I was growing up, and taught us quite a few things, what she did know. You know, they, back in the 20s and when she was being, in her 30s when she was being raised, they didn't talk about that a whole lot, you know. But she did share what she did, what she knew. And, you know, I didn't understand the importance of that until I got much older, of course, you know, looking back. But I grew up in Los Angeles, spending my summers in Idaho and traveling with my grandparents all over the United States, and learned a lot from people wherever we were. And I think that in doing that travel and having that time to connect with being outside and fishing and learning how to pick berries and harvest and identify plants and just really appreciate everything about being in creation kind of set the foundation, if you will, of how I would view the world around me, you know, because it's two totally different worlds. And so now I see that that's starting to come into balance, because I feel our connection to creation is what a human being really needs, realizing that we are a part of everything that's around us in creation. And then balancing that through doing what I'm doing now, which is the radio, creating this new television channel with founder Tommy Wolf, so that we can have stories for our people. They can speak for themselves. And, you know, the music I do, the poetry I do, ceremonies, everything is in honor of creation and everything in creation. So in finding that balance, walking in this world that has been created, it's important for me personally, to remember all those moments spent in creation. If I don't get outside and just sit with the water or sit with the trees, I don't feel the same. You know, it's an important part of every moment of my life. Now that I'm older and understand what that really means, to be intelligently connected to creation, and not forgetting that, you know, without the trees we wouldn't breathe, without the water we wouldn't live, without the earth we wouldn't have food, without the animals to teach us their ways. You know, sometimes we forget that the bear taught us where berries are, and you know, the deer teaches us about family connectedness. So that's kind of and everything that's come along the way has just been one journey at a time, meeting people. You know, the Crystal Skulls a couple of years ago, I met Monique and before I had met him, I was told about his crystal skull, or the crystal skull he carries, Kamisimi. And before I ever got to touch her, meet her, or meet Monique, she sent a dream to me where she took me around the world and showed me all the different places she had been and who she'd been with, and it ended in Japan. And I called my friend who knew Monique, and she said, you need to call him right away. And I said, you know, I told him the story of the dream and said, you know, it ended in Japan. He said, well, I just got Kamisimi back from Japan not even 2 weeks ago. She had been there for quite a while. And so that started me off on a whole other journey of learning the Maya calendar as well as the Azteca calendar, and understanding our, gaining a better understanding of our connectedness not only to Earth, but the cosmos and what that means in the river of time. When I say the river of time, it's, you know, the passage of cycles as we circle around these galaxies. And that expands into so many different directions. You know?
Did your grandparents ever mention, or your family, did you ever hear the terms White River Cherokee, Sac River Cherokee, or Black River Cherokee?
I remember Grandma talking about White River, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Why do
yeah,
you ask?
See, well, I lived in Kabul for several mm-hmm. years, and the White River and Sac River Cherokee are from that area. They have ceremonial grounds in the area, and their Ottawehe, Richard Craker, was a mentor of mine, and so I'm kind of familiar with them, having lived among them and know them, and they're one of the several groups. See, I descend from Gardner Green, who followed Daniel Boone first into Kentucky, then into Missouri, and he returned to the East in time to get on the Henderson roll in 1835, and then passed away. And but I come through him on one side, and also don't quite know the connection. I just know that through the Franklins, I come down from Savinuka, who was a beloved man, or that's before they started calling him Principal Chiefs during the Revolution. Yeah, he followed Dragon Canoe to war. But yeah, just curious if any, you know, sometime, you know, I've got some contact numbers if you'd like to call and get connected with them. I know they'd love to have you on the rolls. but they're one,
you know,
of the other.
Yeah, Graham used to talk about several different things, and the one that you really stuck with me was that we were deer clans. That's not something that I've verified other than just through her teachings.
I know the deer clan chief. I knew him, the current one. Yeah, and
mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So, you know, in childhood, they'll tell you stories and you kind of, you know, pick up on things that will interest you in that moment. And when you become an adult, you're like, well, I didn't really listen that well. I probably should have. But, you know, luckily, Graham also left behind a lot of writings about her childhood and life and her family, which helped me and other family members tremendously in remembering, you know, where we come from and what everyone went through since we weren't raised in that area. Now, my father and his siblings were all raised in that area and then moved to Los Angeles when my dad was born in Los Angeles, but just before that, you know, they had moved there. So they were able to connect with a lot of the relatives and knew where everybody was and what was going on more so. But I think it's a challenge to, and this is something that I really, you know, part of the television station, and the reason that I want to do this is so that our people can tell their own stories from their own perspective without any bias or information outside of, you know, what their experience is in their own family, whether it be, you know, the Cherokee Nation or the Apache Nation, whatever nation it is, whoever wants to tell their story, you know, that's what I want to pass on, so that as we move through the river of time, these stories are recorded and documented before it's too late and no one remembers anymore, you know?
Yeah, you sound like Richard. You sound like Grandfather Richard, because that's what the commission he gave me was to make sure that our stories got recorded.
I think it's a wonderful way for every person on Earth to connect with each other and understand each other a little more. And when we understand each other more, there's the ability for peace, for creating and keeping peace, is much higher. And more sustainable, because it's this perception that we all have of each other, you know, through borders and fences and through, you know, all the concepts of colonization that we've all gone through as tribes of Earth that separates us. And so when we hear each other's stories and understand that we all have very similar things in common, and we have the one really huge thing in common, and that's that we all live on Earth, we all agree that we need to take care of Earth, and that's how the human beings and the rest of the nations, animal nations, water, you know, water, spirit, air, everything, Earth, fire, the swimmers, the crawlers, will all be able to heal and live in harmony again. It's so unbalanced with us continuing to build outside of sustainable means in these cities, and you know, we have people that don't even remember to look up at the stars. And that's something I do every night, no matter where I am. So it's really about sparking that fire within, that I call it re-embering inside, because we all have it, you know.
Well, that's true. Well, tell us a little, if you feel like it now, tell us a little bit about Indigenous Entertainment International, because I guess it's premiering here pretty quick.
Yeah. Indigenous Entertainment International Television, Tommy Wolf approached me a few months ago and asked if I would like to help get this concept going of an Indigenous channel where we can have our own programming, so to speak, from the people, for the people, meaning similar to what I just said, you know, we can go to any nation, and if they want to tell their story, they can create that and we'll air it. If you want to create a sitcom with Indigenous people, we can air that. If you're a comedian and you're Indigenous, we're going to air that. If you're a cook, whatever it is that inspires you is our goal, to get that out there for other people to be inspired by and to remember. And the other part of that is to also bring us together in unity and creating a network that we can all be, you know, be proud of, where we're not forced to watch things that aren't good for children or the future of our people. We're actually telling our own stories, and you know, things like Oak Flat or the Sacred Hills of South Dakota, we can tell those stories from a different perspective that hasn't been told before. And when he approached me, I thought, wow, this is something that could really, really change a lot of things and create a oneness, which goes back to your reading of the Maya calendar, and help us all achieve something that Hollywood and has just not given us Indigenous people the opportunity to do, and that's to speak for ourselves, tell our own story.
That's the truth.
Yep.
So the studio's out in L.A. Yeah. someplace?
Well, what's going to happen is there's a huge collaboration, and I don't want to go into a lot of detail today. That
right.
will eventually come out. But it's a lot of collaboration between a lot of people.
Gotcha.
From different reservations to people who live in Los Angeles, to people who, you know, aren't even Indigenous but understand the importance. We're all going to be working together to create a solid foundation for people to come to and tell their stories or whatever it is they want to do. We want to inspire the youth to be able to continue this on through radio and television to keep this going so that they can talk about what inspires them. You know, I met some young ladies from what nation were they from? Well, they're Sioux, but I've forgotten which nation they were from. She came to me and said, you know, I do spoken word, and I would love to know where I can do that. You know, and then somebody else said, I would love to be able to produce my own videos and my own movies. You know, where do I go to do that? I don't know, as a young person who lives on a reservation, where I can go to do that. So we really want to create that opportunity for them to do whatever it is that inspires them, whether it's radio, television, art, music, poetry, learning the calendars, whatever it is. We don't want them to have these fences and these borders that have been created. We want them to be able to let their imagination be free and express that. And if we're together through Indigenous radio, television, and music, you know, we can do that. And it becomes our own voice again. Indigenous Entertainment Television is going to be broadcast through the internet. It'll be available through an app that's available like on Amazon, iTunes, and some other places for free. And you'll be able to get it on your laptop, your iPad, your notebooks, your cell phone, your smart TVs. There's also like a little digital box that turns a TV into a smart TV for internet. If you don't have that, you'll be able to get that app through there. And I think they're also working on this new Sony PlayStation that's out, having the app available on that as well. So it'll be available essentially earthwide. Wherever you can get this app, you'll be able to watch Indigenous Entertainment Television.
Outstanding.
Unlimited. Yeah.
Yeah, and eventually you'll find, and you maybe sooner than you think, you'll find your way onto some cable channels and Well, let's
yeah,
keep that
any
in our
channel
prayers.
Will be able to broadcast it should they choose to do that. And that, you know, with all of that, there's the background of stuff, which is creating space for musicians, actors, actresses, producers, directors, filmmakers, anybody who's visionary at all, who wants to create pretty much anything. I mean, we have someone who loves to cook and wants to share that. So it's, you know, and they're going back and they're using their traditional foods. So it's really, the potential is unlimited, honestly.
No, yeah.
It's bigger than I ever, when I was first talked to about this, ever even thought about in the first moment. And it just keeps expanding incredibly. So we're very, very excited, very humbled. We understand that it's going to take a tremendous amount of commitment and work, and we're all ready to do it together.
I was wondering, I was seeing pictures with you and Tommy with an older elder. What's his name?
Saginaw Grant.
Oh, okay, Saginaw. Okay, there's a lot of faces that you see you don't know necessarily know what their names are, and then there's a very recognizable on Tommy Wolfe's Facebook. There's also another well-known actor whose name slips my mind. I was like, I'm over 60. I'm entitled. So, but oh man, this is super. This is really super.
Who is it?
He's I just don't know his name. He's been acting for 20 or 30 years though, on TV and television and movies. He's on Tommy.
Oh, A. Martinez.
Yeah, that's him.
A. Martinez.
That's
yeah.
him.
He used to be in soap operas.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, that's A. Martinez. Mm-hmm. Very,
that's right.
Very
wow.
beautiful human being. His whole family is amazing. His children actually very talented in music. They're an incredible family.
Oh, wow. And, you know, there's... it's just... It boggles my mind to know what... I'll bet you're going to have a lot of programming. a lot. You're probably not going to have room for all the programming. You're going to have so much programming because there's...
That's all right. We'll make another channel. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
We'll do whatever it takes to get it all on the best
wow.
that we can.
And you know what?
See us on those red carpets, it's because we're getting together to do projects like this. That's a time for us to see each other's movies, to listen to each other's music, to understand what's going on. You know, this is something that's all new to me as of 3 years ago. And the reason that we get together and do these red carpet events is so that we meet up with each other, talk about what projects are going on, and help each other, you know, to expand this for our people. It's how we can gather who can do what, basically. You know, I'm not a director. If I tried to direct a movie, I'd probably, you know, I wouldn't know the first thing to do. But there's people out there that do, and they're indigenous, and they're good at it.
Oh, yeah.
And there's also people that aren't indigenous that are helping the indigenous people. There's a woman named Jenna Cavell that I have truly come to admire, and she did a documentary called Paya. It's on the story of the water canals of the Paiute, which the water from their area supplies all of Los Angeles and Southern California. So I won't go into too many details about the movie and the documentary, but it's an amazing documentary. So things like that are really important that a lot of us aren't aware of in different areas. And it goes, you know, these canals that had been there in existence for hundreds of years were not well known, but it's a part of indigenous stories. I don't like to say history. I like to say stories or her story.
Right.
So,
right.
Things like that are so important. And there's some amazing people out there doing really, really great things. And people speaking up for, you know, for sacred land. If we're not talking about that, then, you know, things can happen where it goes unnoticed. And we can't do that anymore. We're here as human beings to not only become, you know, understanding of one another, but also understand that everything around us, we need to be in harmony with that. And if we're continuing to desecrate sacred places, every place is sacred to me, but some places are, you know, have a long story of being sacred, like where ceremonies are or et cetera. And if we're not protecting that, then we're not protecting Earth from a human being standpoint. And it's a big, you know, we need her much more than she needs us, speaking of Mother Earth.
Yep.
So if we're using our coherent intelligence, then that means we're connecting with everything that's around us and remembering that we're a part of that, you know, that we're the DNA of everything that's around us, including the stars.
Do you happen to know which about your Apache ancestry? Did they come out of New Mexico or Colorado, or do you have any idea where they came from?
I do, actually. Came out of the mountains of Mexico, just
the
on
Lipan,
the other side of the border.
Mm-hmm. Lipan, yeah, Lipan Apache, probably.
Lipan, yeah. Yes. Yep. I don't know a whole lot, but I know a little bit and enough to... You know, our history, the Lipan history, is very, very interesting one because, you know, my family's from Texas and Mexico, and my grandma, she worked on a farm, which pretty much, you know, what her grandma did and her mom did, and that's what they did with the natives there. They pretty much made them into, you know, put them on these little rancherias and have them work hard. And so a lot of the history wasn't,
well,
saved,
are you familiar with,
unfortunately, for my family, but I do know quite a, you know, enough. What was that? What was your question?
Well,
are you there?
I think we lost him.
I'm here.
Can you hear me, Diana?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Blue Otter, but we lost him, but I think our connection's still going.
Hello? Are you there?
Yes.
Are you there?
Can you hear?
I can hear you guys.
You can hear me. I don't know if you can hear Blue Otter. I don't think he's on. I think he got knocked off somehow. We'll assume that we're still broadcasting, hopefully, and so we just keep talking to him. You just keep going, and he'll come back in if he can get back in. he probably hit the wrong key or something, or did something, because his interface has changed, so he's probably not used to it yet.
Well, that's all right. We'll just keep telling the story. So
yeah.
Grandma was telling me that, you know, they used to go corn and beans and squash and have animals on the farm there, and they would take care of all of that and go into town when she was little, and everybody worked on the farm. Nobody was excluded from the time you can walk, you know, until you were, you know, a parent yourself. And my whole family, the area they mainly are from is Beeville. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that area. But are you guys there?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think we're still going.
So,
I'm not sure why Blue Otter hadn't joined us back in again yet, but we'll wait and see.
Right.
Go ahead with whatever you're wanting to talk about there. So what?
Grandma would just, you know, convey some of the stories from her childhood, and that's kind of the extent that I know at this point, other than doing a little research and on the family tree, which I've traced back to the 1600s. But you know, the Lipan Apache, the history is very interesting because some came from the north, some came from Mexico. Some went up into the mountains of Mexico and mixed with, you know, the indigenous people there. So the whole story of the Lipan Apache has been a very interesting one, and I look forward to learning more about that.
That's kind of
where
your interest in the Aztec Maya stuff originated from, was kind of that kind of move,
mm-hmm.
migrations up from Mexico.
Yeah. Well, what I understand is there was a lot of Azteca people all throughout, you know, New Mexico, Arizona, California, Texas.
Yeah.
And even over into to Georgia and Tennessee, actually. I guess there's some old pyramids over there that don't get talked about a lot, but are in existence, quite large ones, actually.
Yeah, the best research on that is at peopleofonefire.com, Richard Thornton's website. Sorry, I got knocked offline. I'm trying to get back on the Internet, so you guys keep vamping. I'm going to try to get back on the Internet. Go ahead. Oh, I just want to say,
all right.
Tom Brown Jr.'s grandfather, teacher, was the Stalking Wolf, was Lipan Apache, and he was an absolutely astounding, unbelievable prophetic powers.
What is his name again?
Stalking Wolf.
Stalking Wolf.
You can read about Stalking Wolf's prophecy several places on the internet. But anyway, go ahead. I'm having some technical problems, guys. If you would vamp for a few minutes.
Okay. Do you want to stop talking or?
No, no. Keep going.
No, no. Go ahead.
All right. So. With that said, it's been an interesting journey to, in remembering ancestry and, you know, what my grandparents have the opportunity or gave me the opportunity to learn. And, you know, growing up the way I did kind of have this balance that prepared me for what I am doing today, which I call balance. The best that I can. I do prefer to be in the woods or in a less populated area, but I can go into Los Angeles for a short amount of time and be able to work.
Go out and recharge later, right?
Do what needs to be done and get things done.
Well, you know, one thing you can do when you're in Los Angeles that can help you is, if you just simply go into prayer or drumming or anything and then focus yourself back on the mountains, it can essentially bring it right to you. So that can help you. That can help you recharge right there when you're still in the city.
I carry the medicine from the trees and the mountains and the ocean with me everywhere I go. That's a huge part of being able to stay balanced. Most definitely. And before I reach the grapevine, I usually stop, say a prayer, put some tobacco down, let the ancestors know I'm coming through. You know, I treat life as a ceremony because that's how I see life, that life is a ceremony. And so with respect and honor and reverence for not only ourselves but everything around us, and, you know, as long as we're a good, kind human being, you usually will get that in return. You know, there's not always going to be people that agree with you or understand what you're doing, but that's okay. We don't all have to get along to be able to understand that we have that one thing in common, which is that we are all a part of creation. And so with that, I honor everyone. You know, doesn't mean I hang out with them. Because it's sometimes hard to hang out in Los Angeles for long periods of time for me, but that doesn't mean that I can't do it, you know, especially when it's for the bigger picture and the betterment of all, not just myself. And I just keep that in my heart and in my prayers and just keep going.
Yeah, I think that's... what you're saying, I think a lot of people kind of feel the same way and resonate with that, and kind of, I think, you know, a lot of people, if they could enunciate or say it, they'd probably say very similar thing to what you're saying. I think that's what a lot of people really are trying to do, whether they know it or not.
Each one of us comes to that realization, it, you know, connects to someone else, and then we're each writing on what I call that frequency, which goes back to the calendars, you know, and reading the calendars and remembering that, you know, the day you're born, I'm sure you know this, when you're born in Maya, whatever day you're born on, that's your sacred purpose. That's what you're, and everybody understands that.
It also is your name.
True. It's your name.
It's kind of your spiritual name too, and it it helps. It gives people, you know, if they do it right, it gives them some guidance. But they can, you know, they can look at it and see where they're at. Well, usually the way I try to explain it to people, I say is instead of calling it a calendar, I would say call it a song. And what you're really doing is when you're looking up a person, so there's a song, And so what we're really doing is we're taking what day someone was born and we're converting it into a musical note or a position within that song.
Or a frequency.
And at that point in the song, it's singing about something, but there's stuff next to it that relates to it, and there's stuff a little bit further away, and then there's the entire song. So you can kind of find out what note you're born on in the song, but you can step back a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
a little bit more, until you actually see the entire song, but where you are within it in several different places or harmonies or resonances within that song. And by doing that, it gives a person kind of a framework for their purpose and their and how they can also understand maybe how they're working with each other. You know, when they
Very
say,
true.
Oh, you were born at this place in the song. Oh, I was born at that place in the song. Oh, here's kind of how we relate to each other. This is where we have strength. When you do this, which is your part, I do this as my part of the song, and then we do it together really well, that brings up the power, enhances the strength and power of the whole song. It's kind of like when each of us does one small good thing, it's like a little drop goes in the ocean and raises the whole level of humanity.
Right.
It's same thing with
we're
the song.
We're the one song in the chorus of many. We're the one song in the chorus of many, you know?
And I think that's
I
what your work you're trying
way.
To do is, too,
yeah.
with this show and stuff, is it gives everybody an opportunity to be dropping their drop in the water, but with your show, it gives everybody else the opportunity to watch the drop falling and contributing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I think we make agreements long before we're born into this physical frequency or time, as we call it. And we all come into each other's lives for that higher purpose, to support each other. And to serve that higher purpose, it's good to understand that what you were just saying, you know, we each carry a song or medicine that enhances or balances someone else's medicine. It's all about that shared perspective and gathering together to create that beauty way, you know. I agree with you. I love the calendars because I feel that, and I don't know if everybody knows this, but every nation has their own calendars that specifically work with the frequencies of the area that they're in as well. And I feel it's really important for us to start remembering what those are and balancing that with the Gregorian calendar so that we can understand who we are as human beings and everything around us.
Well, it was interesting. Years ago, I heard a talk of something. I think it was Ian Lundgold that said it. And he said, I'd really never thought of it, but he said a calendar is what synchronizes a culture or a civilization.
Mm-hmm.
It's how people get together and say, okay, everybody's born in a calendar. This event, marriage, or whatever, they synchronize themselves with a calendar, and it becomes a life plan. And I thought I remembered when he said that, because that's one of the things the Hopi elders talked about. They talked about us, and they talked about at a point in time when we transition, and when the true white brother returned, that he would there the people or someone working with him or him himself or his helpers. It wasn't exactly real clear always. That they would get together and they would create a new life plan, and it would lead to everlasting life and peace. And that would be the transition from the fourth world possibly to the fifth world, or an Aztec from our fifth sun into the sixth sun, something like that. So you're right. The idea of the calendars and things like that being, you know, and all, calendars are also used to time the ceremonies, the ceremonial
Correct.
Cycles, essentially a calendar. So yeah, it helps. But the thing is the difference I see is that our calendar that we use now has been co-opted and turned into another part of the business cycle.
Exactly.
And it's
not. Turned it into a different frequency is how I look at it.
Yeah, it's not got quite the spiritual component to it. It can be there, but it's not. It's veiled. It's not as strong as, you know, the business aspect of it. And the business aspect of it is sort of out of balance, too. And I think that's where a lot of people have kind of that have dealt with, especially with the Mayan calendar, have resonated with it because they felt it built, brought back to them that aspect that was missing.
Yeah, that's why I've been encouraging everyone to. I went to Zuni last year and asked, you know, do you guys have a calendar? And they said, yes, we do. And, you know, I said, I've been given the message that it should be brought back out. And would you, you know, is that something that's been talked about? And they said, actually, yes, it has. And the reason I mentioned that is because there's so many different types of calendars. There's the seasons, the personal, the local, and the galactic calendars, usually. And someone was always in charge of all of that so that they could know when ceremony time is and also when someone's born, you know, what their personal journey is in the frequency of time. And then, the seasonal calendars also tell you when to plant, when to harvest, you know, and that all goes along with the ceremonial calendar as well. So they all mingle together to create, you know, that harmony. Kind of like when you braid hair, it's stronger than one strand. So I see calendars as a very important part of bringing back balance into what we call civilization and bringing back the sacred of creation and the story. That's just, you know, how I feel about it.
Well, in your work, on your TV and all the other stuff that you're trying to be together, if you run into some stuff on the calendar stuff with the Mayan Zolk'in calendar or, you know, especially in that realm, you can always get in contact with me. I do some stuff with Jose, too. Jose, Jose visited me back in August, and on your reading, I did the part with the traditional Mayan Zolk'in, but also did the reading with this Six Sun Zolk'in, which is something that Jose is learning a little bit about right now. And the part of your reading, actually, that you probably said the most about came out of that. That's the reason that in your experience with Jose on his reading that he didn't get into that much because he hasn't... He doesn't have all the means to be able to do a reading within the sixth sun yet. He's still kind of still kind of working on it. And I've been kind of holding out a little bit, but he's so he in the future he could help too. And he just got a couple of weeks ago, I think you probably saw it on Facebook. He got was talking with Don Alejandro and. The other guy that was the head of the Mayans in the Guatemala and the lowlands and Don Alejandro in the highlands and something interesting happened that I didn't expect was that Don Alejandro and these two Mayan elders and actually I think five others now have actually given a ceremonial blessing onto the sixth son Zolk'in.
That is something
that I didn't know if it was going to happen or not, but if that's something interesting to you or some of the people you're working with too, I've told Jose that we may work, and he's kind of doing a little bit right now, preliminary, but and he's done a pretty good job with what I've given him. But in the future, looking at probably having something where bring out more information and actually start training day keepers for the Six Sun Zolk'in.
Right.
And
that's one of the first things when I met Jose, he said, was that they're supposed to be a day keeper. What I see for you guys moving forward is, you know, explaining what this is, you know, through whether it's through radio or television or both, and what that means, and encouraging people to find that out. I found it very helpful. I've also had the Azteca, you know, I'm learning the Azteca calendar because I'm Azteca.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel it's very important that we go back to those, to our indigenous roots, not just other nations, but ours as well. Again, you know, building that bridge of understanding of where we are in what I call the river of frequency of time and what our purpose is. Everyone has a sacred purpose. And if I could come to you and say, all right, read your date of birth and say, all right, now I understand what your sacred purpose is. We could honor that in you and help you
yeah.
and support you, you know? And that,
well, you can also do what you're saying, too, and you can do it for a group of people, and
mm-hmm.
each person in the group sees how they relate to one another.
Right.
I had a time, my friend and my brother's from Poland, a guy, Chris Uzibik, and he was visiting me, staying with me for a while, and I said, well, would you like to have a reading? And he said, well, I don't believe in all that astrology stuff. I said, well, this isn't really astrology. It's not similar, but not the same thing. And so he kind of went along with it. We did his. And then I don't know what prompted him to do it. He asked, well, would you do my mom, my brother, my dad? And so we did his whole thing, right? And I have a wall mandala of the whole system, right? So you can see
mm-hmm.
the entire Zolk'in. It's kind of a combination Mayan-Celtic wall mandala. And what was interesting is we pointed out on that where his family was born and himself. So all of his family was on one side, all grouped together, and he was on the opposite side.
mm.
And he looked at that, and his mouth just opened up, his eyes kind of popped open, and he goes, there's something to this. This is exactly the way it is in my family. I'm the black sheep of the family. I'm the odd one out. And
I'm not laughing
know,
at him being the black sheep, but just the understanding that was gained in that moment, yeah.
it was so funny because he said before, I don't believe in any of this stuff. But
yeah.
I think that see, one of the keys on the Mayan calendar that makes it a little bit different, there is something that's not very well known. I'm not even sure how many of the Mayan or Aztec elders even know this. But there's an underlying aspect or pattern to it that is literally tapping into the basis of creation. It's tapping into a frequency component that Creator uses. That is a very, very key thing. And so I don't know, some of the other counselors sort of have it in a one way or another, but it's not explicitly there. Whereas in the Mayan and Aztec calendars, there it is. It's very specific. And it's very important because that aspect that's within those calendars, it is what allows in creation things to unfold, grow, become bigger and bigger and bigger, but yet at the same time maintain their connection back to the unity of Creator, the oneness.
Mm.
There is only one way to do it, and that way is manifested or embedded within the Mayan and the Aztec calendars, and that's why they're a little bit different, is because of that. It does show up... If you know what you're looking for, it does show up in the Mayan Popol Vuh Council book at the very beginning of it. There
mm-hmm.
is some very specific information if no one's looking for on it. But that's why those calendars, there's a little bit more to them. They're not just a calendar. They can operate not just in terms of time. They can operate also in terms of consciousness.
Yeah, that's been my understanding of, and why I choose the word frequencies,
mm-hmm.
And go back to similar, I've said similar to what you were saying about a song, a note, and that being
right.
a part of creation.
Yeah.
I feel that we all what's around us is much deeper than our human capabilities at this point from a thinking point of view. It's kind of, and it's all in our DNA, I feel. It's a matter of tapping back into that and opening up to that remembering. You know, when we go through these cycles, it's showing us what the song is at the moment, but there, like you were saying, it's all those moments that are gathered is the song of creation. That's the way I look at it. And
yeah,
it all, you know, it all comes back to that one chorus. It's very deep if we think about that in terms of an expanded reality for us, if you will. You know, how could we be a part of everything that is in existence? yet be so minuscule on the scale of that. But just like the grain of sand is so important, is just as important as the stars that we see, because it's all a part of each other. That's kind of what I've been trying to
yeah.
say throughout this whole conversation that we've been having. And
yep.
it's Quetzalcoatl and Tezcatlipoca. You have
yeah.
you have them, the mirror of each other, the ome, the two. And when you bring that together, that's the ultimate duality of creation, and that's what creation is. So when we're singing these songs and we're coming in and out of these frequencies and we're meeting each other, you know, it gives me personally a better understanding of why I vibrate or get along with someone else, this particular person, better than someone else.
Mm-hmm.
It's about our frequencies. It's about our songs, if you will. And remembering that each person is an important part of that creation chorus. So.
Well, another good use of the calendar is I'm not a lot of people know this, but Carlos Barrios wrote a book in Spanish on this subject, and I guess about 2006 or 7, a friend of mine by the name of Robert Three Eagles, who was Carlos's friend, told me, he said, well, you ought to try doing a vision quest during your Mayan birthday. And I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. And I said, what you need to do is figure out when your Mayan birthday is, and then you need to calculate from sunset to sunrise what the center of night is on that date. And it says sometime after the center of night and before sunrise, you simply go to a place that's very special to you and set up your circle. I actually did the first one in my truck, because the area that I was told to go to was a very busy it was a desert type area, but there was a lot of truck traffic and there was no place to sit out and on the ground or anything. But I just set up my circle and lit lit a candle and set up a circle and put the colors and the directions and align them properly. And I just the sun was coming up, and I just set my head back for about 10 minutes or so, and that's all it took. I was shown a dirt road, and that there was a gate in the distance, and that there was a certain kind of green vine with red trumpet-like flowers on it, and I was told, you have no choice, and the direction was east. So I knew that I had to go east. And that's exactly what happened. And in the end, I had absolutely no choice about it. And so I recommend everybody, you know, plot your birthdays every 9 months. And that's a good time to go out and refresh with spirit, and you can really get some good information. But yeah, you might try that, and you might share that with your friends.
That's interesting. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, the my first experience, not knowing it, but my first experience with it was in the spring solstice of 1998. I was given a prophecy. I was just told that 2005, that the, well, you know, verbatim, I was told the year 2005 will be known as the year of the great havoc, because the weather will become so bad it may even shut down computers around the planet, and wake up and write that down. So I woke up and put it on my website, and three years later started up this program. And one of the first persons I interviewed was a rabbi who lives a little bit west of Jerusalem. And that rabbi landed in Texas the day that Katrina hit. And they take prophecy very seriously. And he checked around, and in November he sent me a link to, and the page is still live. It's a memo about a meeting of UN climatologists that happened in Toronto. And they said that 2005 was the year of havoc. He says that really struck him. He says he did not know of a more explicit fulfillment of prophecy in like 2,600 years. He said it really shocked him. And but that happened, and then that happened in 98, and then I found out a year or two later, after 2004, that the week of 9-Eek started on spring solstice of 1998. So that got my attention. And then I met Mark online in 2008, and we got started and been together ever since, I guess.
Well, I feel that, you know, we all have the ability to tap into the source, if you will, of creation.
Yeah.
and gain understanding of what's going on around us and what may occur. And we're all ultimately connected through consciousness. And so, you know, what affects one affects another. And vision quests are a very good way to do that, of course. And you can do that in all kinds of ways. I go to the ocean quite often and just sit there. Sometimes I'll make a fire and just be there and just listen, you know, try to close down my mind chatter and just feel what's going on around me. And, you know, you can learn a lot from that if we just take a moment to do that and breathe, so to speak. It's, I think, an important part of our coming together in balance with what's going on around us, because there is a lot of chaos. But again, creation is duality. And once we understand that, then when things occur that, like big storms or floods or things that don't feel so good to our hearts, we have an understanding that it's part of a bigger cycle, a bigger purpose, and it's either giving us strength, lessons, or blessings in some form, you know? And it's beautiful.
Well, it's true, and we encourage people to try to get what I call direct voice, two-way communication with Creator. You know, ask questions, and you want to go to Creator with specific questions. And I know the first time I tried it was back in 1990. I had three questions, and I took them to Creator, and I got immediate answers. It was astounding, and I don't want to say it's a lost art. It's just something that people don't talk about very much. But I encourage everyone within the sound of my voice to do this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I see more and more people doing that, and in the music and poetry that I do, just about everything that's in there has come from that moment of me sitting somewhere and talking about being with creation, or through ceremony. Last summer I was in ceremony and received a message that I didn't quite understand at the time, but have gained a little more understanding. And I was told that Quetzalcoatl and Tezcatlipoca are to return. And, you know, I wasn't completely sure what that meant. And then it hit me. It's that smoking mirror, and looking within and reminding ourselves that, you know, when we feel some sort of discomfort, that's the opportunity to learn and to grow, and to remember that we're that unification of Quetzalcoatl and Tezcatlipoca, meaning the duality, and recognizing that that's never separated. You know, it's the balance. And once that becomes more understandable, we start understanding the balance within ourselves and honoring each aspect of ourselves. That means we're not hiding the truth of anything, of who we are. We're walking in that ceremonial way, honoring all that is and isn't, you know. And we tend to not treat others badly. We have respect and take, you know, responsibility for our actions. And it's, it's for me been almost like a fast forward button has been pushed.
Right.
And everything's kind of going at, you know, full speed. And I'm trying to keep up. I'm trying to keep up, you know. And but then I remembered, well, if I'm just calm and I stay still and I listen, then really I'm just, it's just coming, you know, rather than me, like, running after it, so to speak, and chasing it. We don't have to do that. It's all there. It's all accessible. And the way I express that is through the poetry and through the music. And and I also very intentionally use frequencies in music for healing, because I understand that that's really important. And that was another thing that came during that same journey, was to use certain tones and frequencies that are healing or calming, or depending on, you know, what it is that's trying to be conveyed throughout the music. And there's an Azteca elder who calls it reawakening precious twin, and that's the twin with inside of ourselves. In other words, so we're looking at ourselves, and then we're also looking at what's in front of us. You know, it's a constant ceremonial cycle, basically. And I feel that that's the beauty way.
Well, it certainly made me a lot happier, because otherwise you're just wandering around. You don't have any anchor, no direction. Gets total chaos, and you're very easily, you know, led, misled. It's just madness. Well, yeah, witness
right.
What's going
trusting
on.
Our own intuition, more often than not, we're going to be right on spot with what's going on around us. When we're listening to what others have to say about who we are, or what we're doing or not doing, that's where a lot of the confusion comes in, because we let that dialogue begin in our minds, you know, and then we start taking it to heart. When really, you know, if we're listening to everything that's around us, meaning creation and not the words of people, then we gain a better understanding of ourselves, so that no matter what anyone else says or does, you know what you're doing and you're not doing, and you can take responsibility for that. You know, it's difficult to, it's a challenge to walk in this world the way it is today with, you know, this selfie revolution and you know, I need this car and I need that game and these clothes and all of those things that really at the end of the day don't matter, because what really matters, and my grandfather told me this and said it over and over, and I'm sure many other people's grandparents said the same thing. At the end of the day, the only thing that matters is love. Love for your people, love for Earth, and love for yourself. That's what matters. So
spot on.
That's what I carry is good medicine. Yeah.
Well,
in the end, that's all there actually is.
That's right.
That's the creator.
Right?
Well, that's probably
we're just moving creator's love around and sharing it and experiencing it with each other. And so, more if we realize that, then we it gives us a whole new perspective on it. That way, we don't walk off the cliff with our iPhone, like that one.
Well,
maybe we won't
be so hard on ourselves and hard on each other, and we'll understand that everybody goes through something, and that's their tezcatlipoca, that's their smoking mirror, and their something that they need to look at within. And then on the Quetzalcoatl side, they're expanding their experience and understanding that this is a part of creation. I just feel it's so important that we understand beyond what clothes we're wearing and, what house you live in, that we recognize each other's spirit. We recognize each other's song, recognize each other's frequencies. And I feel that that initial change within, it starts a circle of change in the people around us. And you'll see it. I've seen it. I've seen it in myself and everybody around me. So.
Well, we want to thank you for making an appearance, and this URL will be live. You can also, if you feel like downloading it, whatever you want to do, people can download it or listen to it online. And want to thank you very much, and keep in touch, and thanks go out to everybody involved, and say hello to everybody over on Indigenous TV.
Thank you. I'd like to encourage everybody to go to the Indigenous Entertainment International Television page and like it. Start bringing your ideas. Start thinking about what you want to talk about, what the people around you want to talk about, and let's bring it. Let's do it.
Absolutely. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
You
really
bet.
Honored that you had me this evening.
No, it's honor's ours, and thanks again. Goodbye, folks.
Good night, everybody.
All your lolly.
Join us to learn how to legally worship using Indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using Indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Remember who I am.